All right, so this week, we're diving into something that I think a lot of people can relate to. It's dysthymia. And you know what? It's one of those things that often gets brushed off, like, oh, you're just feeling a little down, but it's more than that, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely more than just a case of the Mondays.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna unpack that today. We're gonna see how it's different from, major depression and really importantly, how what you can do about it.
Right. And one of the things that really sets dysthymia apart, or persistent depressive disorder, as it's, clinically called, is the sheer duration of it. We're talking, like a constant companion, like a gray cloud that just kind of follows you around. And for many people with this condition, it's not just a few days. It's at least 2 years of this persistent low mood.
Wow, 2 years. So it's not episodic. It's like you said, it's persistent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I guess with major depression, you think of like a huge storm,
Right.
right? A downpour. But this is more like a constant drizzle. And I can see how that would be really easy to overlook. You might just think, well, maybe that's just how they are.
And that's the thing, right? It becomes almost invisible because it's so ever present. People might think, well, maybe I'm just, a negative person, or this is just, my personality. But the truth is, it's a real medical condition. It needs attention, just like you wouldn't ignore, persistent chest pain. You shouldn't ignore persistent low mood.
Right. It's so easy to just sort of normalize these feelings, especially if they've been going on for so long. So how do we even begin to spot the signs? Especially because you're saying they can be kind of subtle. What should people be really looking out for?
Well, and that's the thing, right? It often sneaks up on you. The article that you shared, it describes it as this constant feeling of being, weighed down. Think about, like those times when you're maybe not sleeping so well, or your appetite's a bit off, or you're just feeling, blah. We've all been there. But imagine that just becomes your new normal. That's kind of what we're talking about here.
So it's not so much about how intense the feelings are, it's just that they're always there.
You got it's the chronicity that's really the key here.
Yeah.
It's those everyday things that suddenly feel completely overwhelming. It's like, dragging yourself through the day, feeling drained all the time. Maybe you're having trouble concentrating at work,
Yeah.
or maybe, you're pushing away your loved ones because you just don't have the energy to engage. These are all red flags.
Yeah, it's like this invisible force that's quietly impacting your work, your relationships, even your view of yourself. I would imagine it takes a real toll on your self-esteem.
Yeah, it's got to be tough, right? To live with that feeling like something's just weighing you down constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to make you feel like you're just not good enough. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. The article, it even called it like a gradual erosion of self-worth, which I thought was just like it really hit home for me. And that's the thing is like when you start feeling that way about yourself, it can be so easy to fall into this cycle, right? You start avoiding social situations because you're feeling down, and then that just leads to more loneliness, more isolation. You feel worse, and it keeps spiraling.
Yeah, it's like a snowball effect.
Exactly. But let's shift gears a little bit and talk about, what we can do about it because, it's not hopeless, right? There are things that people can do if they're hearing this and they're like, "Oh my gosh, that's me." What are some of the options? I know the article you shared talked about like different types of treatment and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely a path forward, and a lot of times it's a combination of approaches that can be really helpful. But one of the most effective is psychotherapy.
Okay, so talk therapy. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the article mentioned like all these different kinds, like CBT and IPT and some others. It was a lot. What are all those? They sound like car parts or something.
Right. I know, right? They sound very technical, but they're really not as intimidating as they may seem at first glance. So CBT, for example, stands for cognitive behavioral therapy. And one way to think about CBT is, imagine your brain is like a computer, right? And it's running a program. But the
Yeah.
program's kind of got some bugs in it. It's got these negative thoughts that keep popping up. What CBT does is it helps you kind of rewrite that program.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so you learn to identify those automatic negative thoughts, those I'm not good enough, or things will never get better kind of thoughts. And then you challenge them, right? You look
Yeah.
for evidence. You start to look for more balanced perspectives.
So you're basically hitting the reset button on those thought patterns.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. What about, what was the other one? IPT, right?
Yeah. So IPT is interpersonal psychotherapy, and that one's really interesting because it recognizes how interconnected our mood is with our relationships.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
Right. So dysthymia often leads to these breakdowns in communication, misunderstandings, frustrations with our loved ones. And so IPT really focuses on strengthening those communication skills, setting healthy boundaries, and just building stronger, more fulfilling relationships.
So CBT is kind of like internal, how you talk to yourself, and then IPT is how you're communicating outwardly.
Exactly.
You got it.
Okay. But it wasn't just therapy, right? I feel like the article also talked about medication as an option.
Yeah. And it's important to remember that medication is not about like masking the problem. It's about addressing what might be kind of an underlying chemical imbalance that's contributing to the dysthymia.
Yeah. Because I mean, our brains are pretty complex, I think.
Absolutely.
And I guess just like any other part of our body, sometimes they need a little help to function at their best.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
But I mean, there were a few different kinds mentioned too, right? Like what were they called? SSRIs and
Okay.
SRIs.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are some of the common
I
ones.
gotta be honest, those acronyms just they all sound the same to me.
I hear you. It's a mouthful. But basically, here's how you can think about it, okay? So our brains, they rely on these chemical messengers called neurotransmitters to communicate. And two of these messengers, serotonin and norepinephrine, they play a really big role in regulating our mood. And sometimes with dysthymia, these messengers, they're not quite functioning as they should be.
So it's like the communication lines in the brain are a little bit scrambled.
That's a really good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where those medications, the SSRIs and SNRIs, they come in. So SSRIs, they stand for selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. It's a mouthful, I know.
Yeah.
Basically, what they do is they work by increasing the amount of serotonin that's available in the brain, which can help boost your mood, help you sleep better, increase your energy levels.
Yeah.
It's like like turning up the volume on those positive messages in your brain.
Oh, I like that analogy. Like, yeah, turning up the volume on the good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And then SNRIs, they're similar. They stand for serotonin, norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors. So they target both serotonin and norepinephrine. And they can be really helpful, especially for people who are experiencing a lot of fatigue, low energy as their primary symptoms of dysthymia.
So they're kind of like tag teaming it, tackling both those neurotransmitters.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's amazing how much we're learning about the brain these days and how it all ties into our mood and how we feel. But it's not just about therapy and medication, is it? I mean, the article also touched on lifestyle changes as being really important too.
For sure, for
Yeah.
sure. Yeah, it's I often tell people it's like if you imagine you're trying to drive a car, but you have a flat tire, your engine's sputtering, and your windshield's filthy. Okay, that's a visual, right? So therapy and medication can be like fixing that flat tire and tuning up the engine, but you still got to clean that windshield to get a clear view of the road ahead, and that's where those lifestyle changes come in.
So it's like we got to take care of our mental health just like we take care of our bodies,
Right,
right? Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
So what are some of the things that people can do? Because when we talk of lifestyle changes, it can be kind of vague.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But honestly, it's the simple things, right? Like,
Yeah.
are you eating a balanced diet? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you moving your body, getting some exercise? These things, they seem so basic, but they have such a profound impact on our brain chemistry and just like how we feel overall.
Yeah, it's like it's setting the foundation. And
Exactly.
what about stress? Because I know that that can be a big one for a lot of people, especially with dysthymia.
Oh, absolutely. Stress is like a huge trigger. So finding healthy ways to manage that stress, whether it's, through mindfulness or spending time in nature or even just, doing things that you enjoy, having those outlets because it all adds up. Right. And it's not just about what you do for yourself, but also who you surround yourself with. Yeah. Right. Having that support system is huge.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Like your people, your community, your friends, your family, whoever it is, you know, that you can lean on.
Exactly. It makes all the difference. And that could even look like, you know, a support group or a therapist or just, you know, trusted friends and family, anybody who gets it, you know, who understands what you're going through. Sometimes just knowing that you're not alone in it can make all the difference.
Yeah, that feeling of connection is so important, especially when, like we were saying before, you know, dysthymia can be so isolating. I know the article also mentioned like community resources, right? Like are there places that yeah. people can turn to?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's some fantastic resources out there. The article, you know, I think it mentioned a few of the national hotlines, websites dedicated to mental health.
Yeah.
And these resources, they can, you know, connect you with local support groups. They can help you find therapists in your area. Some of them even have information about insurance or you know, finding affordable treatment options, which I think is a huge barrier for a lot of people.
That's really good to know because, yeah, I mean, it can feel overwhelming sometimes, right? Just even knowing where to start. Right. But it sounds like there really is like a whole network of support out there if you know where to look.
There really is. Yeah. And that's something I'm really glad we're talking about today because, you know, you don't have to suffer in silence. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. If anything, it's a sign of strength. It means that you're taking care of yourself. You're taking charge of your mental health. You know, you deserve to feel better.
That's so true. So for someone listening right now, who's maybe hearing all this and they're like, yeah, that's me. Or maybe they recognize it in someone they love. What would you say is like the most important takeaway?
I would say, remember, you're not alone. There's always hope. Dysthymia is treatable. You know, recovery is possible. And that first step might be just reaching out to somebody, you know, a friend, a family member, a mental health professional, whoever it is. But just know that there's a whole community of support out there ready to help you, you know, find your way back to the light.
Ah, I love that. Finding your way back to the light. It's a good reminder that even though, you know, with dysthymia, it can feel like there's this gray cloud kind of following you around. The sun's still there. It's just about finding the tools and the support to help you see it again.
Beautifully said. Yeah, it's about reclaiming your life, you know, rediscovering the joy and the fulfillment that maybe this condition has kind of, you know, put in the shadows for a little while.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Well, on that note, I think this has been a really insightful deep dive. So to everyone listening, thank you for joining us. And just remember, you're not alone. There's hope and there's help out there.